Oh, he's still on the throne. Can I hear an amen? He is still on the throne. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 16. Thank you, choir, for leading us in worship with that song. Mark chapter 16. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's good to have the Estes family here today, and they start revival this evening over in Richmond at the Tabernacle. If you got time this week to go be with them, make sure, make plans to do so. Mark chapter 16, verse number 1 says, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?' And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted," or afraid. "And he said unto them, 'Be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen.'" Let's say that together. He is risen. "He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you." Will you pray with me this morning? Jesus, I love you, and I thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is a living word, that it speaks to us still today just as much as it ever has. I pray that, Lord, in this service, in this moment, that your anointing would be here. Let my words be few and yours many. Anoint our ears to hear what you would have us to hear today. God, I pray, Lord, let someone find the empty tomb in Jesus as Lord and Savior. We love you, Jesus. And the church said amen. Amen. You may be seated. In my office, I have several books written by a man by the name of Max Licato. Max Licato is a pastor down in San Antonio, Texas area. He's authored many books. He's a master storyteller and illustrator. And he has several books that I have that their titles would make great Easter sermons. One of those is titled, "He Chose the Nails," talking about Jesus. He chose the nails. I'm glad he chose the nails. I'm thankful that Jesus was willing to lay down his life for us. Now, I asked my kids this question last night. It was kind of a trick question. I asked them, why did Jesus die? Why did Jesus choose to die? I knew most responses to that question would be so we could be forgiven of our sins, or so we could live, so we could have life with him for eternity. And those answers are definitely right. But as I thought about that question this week, I realized that Jesus, the effect of the death was life for us, or forgiveness for sins, or redemption. I'm thankful for redemption. But Jesus died because he loves us. Think about that. He died because he loves us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He even said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friend." Another scripture, "God commended," or showed, "his love toward us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That word "sinners" can sometimes be taken judgmentally. Somebody might say, "You're calling me a sinner." Well, I'm not calling you a sinner. I'm calling all of us. We were all born into sin. Can I hear an amen? That's why we needed a Savior. He died, yes, so that we could be set free from our sin. But you know, Jesus, he died because he loved you. He loved us. He loved every single one that's in this building today. Now, there's a lot of people today that they've never experienced true love. They've never felt that real love. Everybody that they've loved has turned their back on them or betrayed them or walked away from them. Can I tell you this morning that the Father in heaven, his love will not betray you. He loves you with an eternal, everlasting love. He loves you more than anyone could ever love you. And today you can come to know that love. Another book on the shelf in my office is called No Wonder They Call Him the Savior. That'd be a great Easter Sunday morning sermon as well. When you look at the cross and think of all that Jesus was willing to go through just so you and I would have the opportunity to get saved, you would leave there saying, no wonder why we call him the Savior. Even at that moment when Jesus hung his head and died and said, it is finished, the centurion exclaimed, truly, this was the Son of God. I'm thankful he's the Son of God. No wonder we call him the Savior. There's another book on my shelf, and this is where I get this title from this morning. The title of the message this morning is this: He Still Moves Stones. He Still Moves Stones. And that was a question that was on the lips of the ladies in the text of Mark chapter 16 as they went to see the tomb where Jesus had been laying. They were wondering, who is going to move the stone away so we can get to Jesus? Who will move the stone? We serve a God who can move stones. I'm saying that symbolically. I worked under a pastor for several years, and at times he would have issues with kidney stone. Anybody ever have a kidney stone in here? A few of you? Well, he would get them from time to time, and he would have to miss work because of the pain that he would endure. And this was a man that he never missed a day in the office, and so for him to miss, you knew it was excruciating pain. But after a couple of days, he'd come back, and I'd say, hey, are you doing okay? And that's he would exclaim, well, he still moves stones, praise the Lord. We celebrate this moment, this day, this Easter, this Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate this because the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. Jesus is risen. Praise the Lord. Look at your neighbor and tell him, Jesus is risen. He is risen. Now, we wouldn't celebrate today if it hadn't happened, but because he is alive, we celebrate this moment. I love this quote. One man said, the message of Easter is not simply that Jesus is alive. It's so much more. The message of Easter is that Jesus has risen. Praise God. Jesus lived. That's a great thing. Jesus died. That's great. But if Jesus had not risen again, all of the things and the promises we read about him would have been nullified and void. But because he lives today, we have a hope that exists throughout eternity. And he still is a God that moves stones. Jesus did not die a death fit for the King of Kings. He died a death that was fit for a criminal. He was brutally beaten. He was crucified. He was dead. He was pierced. He bled out. He hung his head and died. And for a moment, he felt that separation from the Father as he said, my Father, why hast thou forsaken me? But this death that Jesus endured, it was not a plan B for him. Jesus said he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world, meaning that even before God ever created anything we see in this universe today, he had already planned to give his only begotten son for us. He did not make it up on the fly as he went. It was his plan A. It was the thing he was going to do to show his love for you and for me. And these people of Mark chapter 16, these ladies, Mary and Mary, were going to the tomb to, even though Jesus didn't get a proper death or he didn't get a proper burial, they wanted to anoint and preserve him properly. They wanted to honor the Messiah that they believed in. So they went to that tomb that morning, knowing it would be guarded. They were concerned. They were concerned, how can we get there? Will the guards even let us in? But they loved Jesus so much that they wanted to honor him, even in his death. Their love constrained their worship, but there was a stone in the way. It was something that was going to keep them from getting to Jesus. Can we talk about the matter of the stone for just a moment? Let me talk to you about the matter of the stone. That stone was there. It was real, and it was an obstacle. It was in front of the tomb where Jesus had been put. He was put there very quickly. He was put there almost as soon as they took him off the cross. Joseph went and begged the body of Jesus. He was put in this borrowed tomb, and this common stone was there in front of Jesus's tomb. It was in front of all the other tombs. There was one in front of all the other tombs as well. But what set apart those tombs from this one is the Savior was supposedly inside of this tomb. That stone that kept them from getting there would have been anywhere from 4 to 6 feet in diameter. That means it would have been as tall as I am and as wide, wider than, I'm not 6 feet wide, praise the Lord, but it was pretty wide. It probably weighed over 1 ton. So these ladies who went to that tomb that day, there was no way they were going to be able to move the stone. When they got there, they would have noticed that the stone had been rolled into a groove. It had been placed on an incline. So even if they were strong enough to nudge it out of the way, they would have to do so uphill. There was no way they could move the stone. And they believed that Jesus was still dead inside the tomb. They assumed that he would be there when they got there. And so they asked the question, who's going to move the stone? Now, these women were at a bit of a disadvantage. They did not know that Jesus had been resurrected. They hadn't heard the story in Sunday school that Jesus rose again. Praise the Lord. They hadn't been to church on Easter Sundays in the past and learned that he was risen. They didn't have this knowledge that you and I have today. They were living this in real time. So they were concerned, how am I going to get to Jesus? But church, let me tell you, he still moves stones. The matter of the stone was there. How can I get there? Now let me talk to you about the moving of the stone. They got up to the tomb, and to their surprise, they find that the stone had already been rolled away. Can I hear an amen? The guards were all gone. The stone had been rolled away. So inquisitively and with curiosity, the women looked inside the tomb there, expecting to find the body of Jesus. And there, instead of finding Jesus, they see all of the grave clothes folded nice and neat, laying there where he had been. And there was an angel inside that gave them this message. I know you've come to seek Jesus who was crucified. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, hallelujah, but he is risen, praise the Lord. Notice something there about the moving of the stone. The stone was not moved so Jesus could get out of the grave. Jesus would make his way out regardless of whether the stone had been moved or not. He was risen. He was supernatural, praise the Lord. We see later on that he was able to enter a room through a shut door. Nothing could keep Jesus from getting out of that grave. But let me tell you this, that stone had been moved so Mary could go into that tomb and see that Jesus was alive. Praise the Lord. He moved that stone so there would be no doubt that he had risen. Imagine if the stone had stayed in place and Jesus had shown himself even to the disciples. Many would point to that tomb and say, hey, it's still sealed. The stone is still there. They're making this story up. Jesus didn't rise again, but church, he moved the stone as proof that he lives. But you and I, most of us, having heard about this risen Savior, we know and believe that he still lives and reigns. We read about it. We sang about it all the service. Maybe even the majority in here this morning have experienced his resurrection power that makes you be a born-again believer. Praise the Lord. But still today, I want to point to this symbolically. There is oftentimes the matter of the stone that tries to keep us from getting to the Savior. There are things that come upon us in life that cause us to doubt that he is alive and active, that cause us to miss the fact that he's moving around us and maybe even in our lives. See, that stone, it tries to hide the empty tomb, tries to steal our faith. It tries to keep us from seeing the power of the risen Lord. Sometimes the enemy wants to block our access to the Lord. He tries his best to roll a stone over that grave again to make you think you can't find help from the Savior. But let me tell you, he still moves stones. Hallelujah. Now, when I go out of town sometimes, it's not very often when I'm not with my family all the time, but there have been times I've gone out of town and I've come home to find things have been moved around. And they've done things to make sure nobody can get in. Now, I remember one time I walked in the house where we were living. The furniture had been placed in front of the front door so nobody could open it. There were weapons all around just in case. Praise the Lord. They had knives in places. I was like, what are you guys doing? Well, we didn't know what would happen while you were gone. Amen. Sometimes the enemy tries to barricade the door of your faith and try to keep you from getting access to the Savior. But church, let me tell you, sometimes I know you want to move the stone, but you can't do it. God can move the stone for you. Praise the Lord. Inside that empty tomb, there was nothing but a folded face covering and grave clothes. The precious Savior had already been risen, but this is the fact. If that stone hadn't been moved, the truth would not have been revealed. Glory to God. And this morning, you came to the right place for truth to be revealed in your life. There is a God in heaven who loves you. There is a God in heaven who died for you. There is a God in heaven who cares about you right now. The enemy wants to blind you from the facts and keep you from realizing there's a better way of life outside of what you're living right now. But let me tell you, the Lord has been moving that stone out of the way so you can see the truth. Even though you've been told promises and experienced some of their fulfillment, there are still days when the enemy comes rolling that stone in, trying to block us from getting to the Savior. Have you ever heard that phrase, you're between a rock and a hard place? Have you ever been between a rock and a hard place? Anybody ever been there? That stone, I just was thinking about this. I know we're speaking symbolically. You'll have to forgive me for a moment here, but that stone, it looks a lot like shame and guilt and condemnation. There are times in our lives when we think there's no way that God could love me. There's no way that I could find forgiveness. There's no way that the Lord can come by and touch my life. I've done too many things. I've turned my back on Him too many times. I've done so much evil. There's no way that the blood of Jesus can touch my sin. Can I tell you, you are wrong today. His blood can cleanse every stain. Come on, somebody. His blood can wash every stain and give you complete forgiveness and a new birth. There was a preacher who, he was a guest minister, had a service some time ago, and he and his wife were after the service talking to the host pastor, and the guest speaker noticed a young lady in the back of the church that was just standing there. Everybody was making their way out, but she was remaining in the sanctuary there. So this guest minister, he said to his wife, he said, why don't you go talk to her and see if there's anything that we can do to help her? She seems like she's wanting to talk to somebody. So his wife went over there and began to talk to her about whatever she needed. And eventually she brought this young lady up to the pastor and to the minister there, and they began talking to her about what she was looking for. And she said, well, my life is a mess. My life is a wreck. She said, everything I've done is just a failure. And I was driving by here this morning, and I noticed the parking lot was full of cars. And so I decided I'd pull in here and say, and thought, if they're finding help, maybe I can find help there also. She said, I came into the service, and all through the preaching, I sat there thinking, God, I wish you would help yourself into my life. I wish you would work in my heart and in my life and do for me what I see you doing for these folks. And the guest minister looked at her and she said, ma'am, or he said, ma'am, didn't you see when I got done speaking that all those people came to the front for prayer? He said, why didn't you come with them? Why? Because she did see it. She said, yeah, I saw them. And he said, why didn't you come down with them and let us pray with you then? And she said, you mean a person like me come with all those nice people? She was stuck in a tomb of her own shame, guilt, and sin. She did not realize that every one of those people that went down to the altar that day had been, and maybe some were still in, the same place where she was. And so is the case today, church. Maybe you came in here this morning looking for hope, looking for help, looking for forgiveness, looking for purpose. Can I tell you, you're in the right place. You came to the right place today, but the thought can cross into our minds at times that we're out of place. There's no, that we can't be in the right place. It's our, my chance has already passed me, but you are not out of place this morning. Let me put it this way. I'm going to ask for participation. I'm almost done today, but has anyone in here ever told a lie? Raise your hand if you've ever lied. Raise your hand. Be honest. All right. Has anybody in this room ever cheated? Cheated on a test? Cheated on your taxes? Oh, man, the IRS is watching. Anybody ever cheated? Has anybody in here ever stolen something that did not belong to you? Let's be real. Whether it was a candy bar or a few dollars or something even bigger. Anybody stolen a car even? Anything? You ever stolen something? Has it, this one might be a big one, and this might reveal something to somebody you've had this secret from for a long time. Has anybody ever spent time in a jail cell? A few of us. I didn't go to jail. I was there to preach, praise the Lord. Have any of you ever hated somebody? Be honest. Ever hated someone? See, you look around, you are in the midst of a bunch of liars, amen. Cheaters and thieves. But have any of you ever encountered a risen Savior who forgave you of all your sin? Woo! Have any of you ever been changed by the crucified one? Has your heart ever been washed clean by the blood of Jesus? Have you ever been changed by the Holy Spirit continually? Hallelujah. And let me ask you this. Do you believe he still works today? Anybody in the house, you still believe that he works today? Listen, let me be real honest with you. I came to Jesus at a young age, but I remember even then at 12 or 13 years old, that mountain of my sin, it seemed insurmountable and unmovable. It was a stone that kept me from getting to him. But one day Jesus came by and said, let me move that stone out of the way so you can see me for who I really am. Praise the Lord. Church, he still moves stones. He did what he did on the cross out of his love. He loved while he was on earth until his very last breath. Even when he's being led away to die, what does Jesus do to one of his accusers? He reaches down. The man's ear had been cut off because one of Jesus' disciples was trying to defend the Savior. But Jesus reached down and picked up that man's ear and healed it. Why? Until he breathed his last breath. Jesus wanted everybody to know his love for them. But he died. He was buried. Hallelujah. But even then, he was able to move every stone because he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And because he lives today, you can have life. You can have life more abundant. You can have real life. Here's the thing. If our music could come this morning, his invitation for you to enjoy this life of freedom and forgiveness, he invites you to come to him, to be forgiven, and to follow him. And that's the greatest purpose of all time, church. That's the greatest purpose in life, is you want to follow Jesus and give him glory with everything that you do. Amen. And we want to help you get there today if that's where you're at. You want to know him as Lord and Savior? Let me tell you, the easiest thing to do is just lump all of those things that you've done wrong into one big ball and say, God, can you forgive me of this? And you know what he'll do? He'll move that stone away from your life. He'll forgive you and cleanse you and make you new. Do you believe in that power? I believe in that. Amen. I believe in that. We talked about the matter of the stone and the moving of the stone. All that's possible because Jesus is the master of the stone. There's a law in creation, or in science, I should say, that says matter can neither be created or destroyed. Everything that you see right now, every piece of material, everything, all these plants and carpet, the seats you're sitting on, all of that can be traced back to the creative power of our Lord and Savior. He made it all. He made it all. You know, he even made the stone that they rolled over his grave. That's a crazy thought, isn't it? He was the creator who thousands of years before his birth, he made that stone. Now, I'm sure it was a lot bigger. They hewed it out of a mountain, no doubt. But it was still created by his own hands. He's the master of the stone. And he can move whatever it is that's keeping you from getting to him today. Now, I know I made mostly a salvation pool there, but there may be some in here this morning that lately it's been just a test of your faith that's kind of been pushed over that place where you first found Jesus. Sickness or troubles or trials or different things. Maybe something's happened with you and some of your relationships. Let me tell you, he can still move that stone. Amen. And give you that freedom again. That freedom again. Let's stand together. Jesus, I love you. Can we just lift our hands and give him praise this morning? Thank you, Jesus, that you moved the stone. Thank you, Lord, that you love to reveal yourself to us. Lord, not just to those who have had faith in you, but you love to reveal yourself to people who don't know who you are. And right now, I pray that you would do that in this moment, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you've moved stones countless times out of our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's still in control. He's still on the throne. And that stone being rolled away that day revealed to those ladies at the garden there where the tomb was that this Savior that they had followed for those three and a half years while he walked this earth, he was who he said he was. He was the Messiah. Can I hear an amen? He was Emmanuel, God with us. I should say he is Emmanuel, God with us. That stone being rolled away revealed that he is the Redeemer. He is the Savior. He is the Healer. He is our Intercessor. He is the one who overcomes all things. And that power is available to you and I today. Praise the Lord for that awesome promise. He can reveal himself to you. I wonder today, we're about to ask everyone to come down and pray. We pray around these altars, but as I invite them to come, if you would like to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, right now is a great time, amen, for you just to give it all to him, hallelujah, and let him become the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of your life. Nothing you've ever done cannot be forgiven by the power of our risen Savior. Hallelujah. So I invite you to come. Everyone that will, let's come. Find us a place to pray. If everything's right in your heart between you and God, I invite you to come and let's worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But if there's something in your way today, in the way of your faith, oh, and you need the Lord to move some mountains and move some stones, I want you to know he is still a God that moves stones. Hallelujah. And if you need to find Jesus as Lord and Savior, he's still risen, he's still saving, and he can do for you what he's done for many. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I know a name.
Yes.
That can silence roaring waves. I know a name that can empty out a grave. I know a name. It's the only name that saves, and it's worthy of all praise. I call you Jesus. I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out.
something comes out of the grave. Every time I call you Jesus, I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call you Jesus, I call you Savior, worthy. With death.